We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Sunday night Knicks special edition of Knicks Fan TV presented by Manscaped. This is our last NBA Draft Q&A. We are 4 days away from the NBA Draft. We're going to find out which player or players will be the newest members of the New York Knicks come this Thursday. Oh, man. I froze already. Oh, okay. Good. I just froze. I thought we was going to have technical difficulties, but we good. We good to go. Joining me tonight, special guest making his return in Knicks Fan TV. No stranger to the show, though. This is my guy, basketball skills trainer, David Zenon. David, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining again, bro.
My man, CP, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, doing all right, man. Doing all right. 4 days away from the draft, and we're getting a couple of, tidbits here and there. A couple of leaks coming out this morning by Shams of The Athletic. A couple of tidbits that we want to share with the fans first and foremost is Shams has confirmed that the Knicks are trying to trade up into the lottery. We've heard that from multiple reports early this weekend, and you know, as fans, knowing that we have the 19th and 21st first pick, you can kind of speculate that the Knicks will be aggressive in this draft. But nevertheless, all right, starting back up, pardon the delay, just having some technical difficulties with the system. Nevertheless, we are back up. So anyway, just to chase today's show, we took a poll on Twitter since David was making his return to the show. We took a poll on Twitter to see which one of the prospects the fans wanted to hear David break down, get his thoughts, share his notes, detailed analysis on these draft prospects. So we came up with our list of 10 based on what you guys had requested, plus a couple others. And so given that the Knicks are interested in potentially trading up, we do know that Golden State is fielding offers. Right now, Golden State is sitting with the 7th and the 14th pick. Knicks sitting at 19th and 21. I think 14 is realistic. You also have Orlando sitting there at 5th and 8th. I'm not sure how far up the Knicks can go if they can reach 8. But let's say they stay at 14. David, I think Moses Moody could be a prime target. Did meet with the Knicks earlier last week. Moses Moody, the swingman out of Arkansas. What's your take on Moody?
I like him a lot. I mean, he stands at about 6 foot, 4.5, 6'5" without shoes, 6'6" with shoes, 6'7" with shoes. But his wingspan is very intriguing. I mean, he has a 7 foot wingspan. It's over an 8-inch difference in terms of the height and wingspan. Really good mid-range shooter. He has the potential to be a very good 3-and-D player in this league. Strong body, and he's a very, very under-the-radar passer. And he's a tough-nosed kid. Comes from a good background, built really well. I like him a lot. The thing that I want to see him improve on is obviously some of the two-point percentage field goals, you know, in terms of finishing at the rim. And then also, as I said, he's going to turn into one of those guys that could be a 3-and-D shooter. However, he only shot 35% from three. So I would like to see that improve a little bit more in order for him to get the billing of being a 3-and-D. But his physical tools, the intangibles, all that other stuff, it makes him to be a very good pro. He could be a very, very good player in the league.
How would you see him? Like, if you slotted him, you know, at the two with RJ and Julius, how would you view him as an off-ball option?
It's interesting because RJ showed more flashes of his shooting ability last year. Mm-hmm. And if he's able to help spread the floor alongside with this young man, Moody, it could be a pretty good tandem back there. The only thing that I'm a little bit concerned about, however, is Moody does make his living in the mid-range. And as I said, he's going to turn into, or he could be one of those 3-and-D kind of guys. He would need a point guard to find him in those opportunities to shoot from the perimeter. Most of the time, I think Arkansas did take advantage of his skill set with him making plays with the ball. And as I said, he's a very underrated passer. He's one of those guys that he actually likes making passes in tight spaces. So it would be interesting to see how those three could fit together and who would essentially be the guy that's going to stay on the perimeter the most with the ball. Yeah. That would be the question, considering how much RJ likes to drive, and same thing with Julius. So, I mean, they could play together. I think it would just be a matter of how well and how quickly Moody would get acclimated to the skill set that RJ and Julius have.
What do you think about moving RJ to the three? I mean, a lot of this draft, some of these guys are, you know, 6'4s and probably fit more in the two-guard mold. What do you think of potentially moving RJ to the three for a guy like a Moody?
I don't think it's an issue. I mean, he's a slasher to begin with, and he can drive with the ball. And the NBA now is positionless basketball.
Right.
So everybody's just essentially really good at a skill set and is taking advantage of it. RJ can do that. RJ can play the three. He can defend the three. He's strong enough to defend forwards in this league. As we talked about last year, he's grown both on and off the court. So it's very important for people to see his versatility on that end of the floor as well.
Yeah, you're right. And I think he has proven to be very versatile even this year, you know, watching him and Bullock out there defending, because sometimes you would have Bullock out there in the ones, maybe the twos or the threes. And then other times you would have RJ on the twos or the threes. You know, those duels with Kawhi Leonard come to mind, especially RJ on the defensive end. I think he's building, bulking up and getting into that size where he shouldn't have an issue there. I think guarding threes might be better even from a lateral quickness standpoint for RJ. And as you said, as a natural slasher, I think that could be his natural position. So I actually think even if we go with a two guard or a prototypical two guard, you know, in terms of height, I think we'll be all right with moving RJ to the three.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about him is what stands out about Moody playing alongside RJ is RJ showed the ability to play defense really well in that versatility. And this kid can as well. He's a very good defender. I mean, we just talked about the offensive side of the ball, but he did pretty well with a good defensive system in Arkansas. But then just even, as I said, his physical tools and the way that he was able to move on the floor, his lateral ability and having a 7-foot-plus wingspan on top of that, it's a pretty enticing prospect.
How would you view Moody's ability to get to and finish at the rim?
That I think he would need a little bit more work with that. He's not a bad finisher. I just think once you get to the league, obviously those guys are bigger, faster, stronger, and all that other stuff. But he actually has a pretty good nose to the rim, I guess you can say, similar to RJ. But his bread and butter is that mid-range. So I wouldn't necessarily look too much for him to be finishing that much around the rim. He's a really good offensive rebounder, though, which makes it interesting to see how that's going to fit as well. So I think the driving and finishing ability is pretty good. It could always improve. Clearly, I mean, he's done a lot in terms of utilizing those tools to get to this point where he's now a first-round pick.
Yeah, and a lot of mock drafts have him anywhere between, you know, say the 8 to you know, 10, 12 range. So going to be interesting to see where Moody falls. Another guy who's a potential move-up candidate, Josh Giddey out of Australia, played down in the NBL. Obviously, we saw LaMelo's, you know, skill sets coming into the league. I don't, maybe that's you know, pushing Giddey a little bit, but 6'8". Playmaker down in the NBL, you know, what stuck out to you with Giddey?
His pinpoint passes, man. The kid can pass the ball. He controls the tempo really, really well. He reminds me a lot of, like, Kyle Anderson. He's not going to blow you away with his athleticism. Yeah. he moves at his own pace. You don't rush him. He kind of rushes you, and, you know, quote unquote on the rush part. But he's able to get to his spots. He does a pretty good job with drawing contact, actually. As I said, once he gets to a spot, and he likes to bury his guy closer to the rim. So he's able to utilize that as much as he can. The thing that he needs to work on the most, though, is that outside jump shot. He's not a good shooter. It's more of a mechanical thing, timing thing. Unfortunately, the pace that he does run with and, you know, is able to play the point guard position with, he does also uses it with his shooting ability. So that's something that could be fixed. It's not like alarming to me where it's like stay away from him at all costs, but it's something that he would have to really work on. But man, when I tell you, the kid has great touch around the rim. He's able to create those passes, pinpoint passes. Same thing with LaMelo last year when I was talking about how he does a great job of getting hockey assists. Same thing with this guy. And he's able to get a lot of those type of passes where he's leading his man, is able to anticipate the play. So a lot of those, you know, passes where he's going to be, you know, threading the needle and finding his man in transition, I could see him doing a lot of that.
6'8", Josh Giddey. So the shooting issues don't worry you at all? Because, I mean, only
39%. No, not too much. I mean, it's they do concern me. I would be lying if I said that they didn't concern me. Yeah. However, he's like one of those kids that you could work with him. And down the road, he could be a shooter. But for now, if you want to strictly like just have a playmaker, this kid is going to be really, really good in this league. Because you're talking about spacing once again. And it came into – that was the notion that I had behind Halliburton last year. Spacing is going to be key. And once you have at least one or two shooters that are next to you, that's going to make your life so much easier, as we saw what Halliburton was able to do a little bit with Buddy Hield and Bogdanović before he was traded. So, you know, you just have to see. I mean, this kid's going to be a very, very interesting player with his height. He could see over the defense. Yeah. As I said, he's not going to blow anybody away with his athleticism. He's not going to, like, you know, be one of those guys that's going to drive to the rim like crazy. But when he gets to the rim, he has really good touch. I think he finished like close to like 65% around the rim. So, I mean, that's a guy that's able to utilize that skill set to the best of his ability.
And Nick's not known to be a team finishing around the rim, in particular Julius and RJ, fairly lousy at it. You know, D-Rose didn't add too much there, and neither did Peyton. So Knicks could certainly use someone who could finish a bit stronger there. Speaking of strong, how about defensively? I mean, obviously he's a bit svelte right now. You know, clearly he's going to put on that NBA weight and size. But what do you think about his on-ball defense overall?
Well, that's a very interesting thing. I wouldn't see him as necessarily a great fit with this team, with the mindset that Tibbs has. You know, maybe it's just one of those things where he was kind of cruising and waiting for the draft, but I saw a lot of, you know, taking plays off and kind of just, as I said, he's going by the beat of his own drum. He's not very aggressive on both ends of the floor. Whether it's just attacking the rim, as I said, he's not going to do that with you, but then also defensively, he's not necessarily a ball stopper. The lack of athleticism is a little bit alarming on that end. He's kind of one of those guys that's going to be a pretty good help defender, you know, kind of stunt and go just because of his length and his height. But it's not necessarily like he's going to lock you down strictly ball on ball defender type. And then if you're going to end up getting those screens and then they're going to go high low, let's say he gets stuck with a big, then you have a world of trouble. Yeah. So this is a guy who's an intriguing prospect. He'd be great on other teams, I think, but I don't necessarily see him being like a really good fit for this team.
Interesting indeed. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP David Zidon here, NBA Draft Q&A. We are responding to the fan requests. Fans heard David was going to be on the show, man, and threw a lot of requests out there. So we're pulling out the notes right now and giving you guys the details and some of these prospects. Hey, one of these guys could be Knicks. You never know. Two of these guys on this list are hot commodities right now, no matter who you hear it from in the league. You know, Chris Duarte out of Oregon, Trey Murphy out of Virginia. I personally heard that the Knicks were very high on Murphy, and we're also hearing that that they're high on Duarte, but those two players have now met and worked out with the Warriors twice. So Warriors could be looking at these guys, looks like at number 14, and from what you're hearing, Duarte's not going past 14. So What do you think? Let's start with him, man. What's your take on Duarte out of Oregon?
Man, he's got a big body, great form, like one of the best shooters in the draft. I mean, we're talking like
I think it's 43% from three, 42,
43. I mean, yeah, this kid is like this kid is, and he's great off the bounce. You know, you're talking one dribble pull up type of shooter that, I mean, catch and shoot, he does it well. Off the dribble, he does it well. He does a lot of stuff. He does a lot of stuff on the perimeter that goes unnoticed in terms of, like, he could set the screens. He does a lot of stuff with creating space behind the perimeter to get his shot set up or to set other people up for their shots, which is important. And clearly, like, when you're dealing with guys that have a good frame and that are good shooters, you know, he's a two guard through and through. Like, the guy's phenomenal shooting guard, small forward type of player. So he was very intriguing to me. And once I heard that the Warriors were looking at him twice, I was like, uh-oh. he's I mean, he's legit like 6'6". You know, not – I think he's like 6'6 without shoes, I want to say. But good size, man. And I love his form. Great stroke.
It's not surprising to me that they would look at him because I feel like a team like the Warriors are going to be looking for a ready – a play that's ready, plug and play, ready to go right now. Obviously, he's 24. You know, that's a knock on him. People are trying to, you know, down on him because of the age. They say it's limited upside, but there's other people who look at it and say, hey, if you're getting that type of productivity or the potential that he brings at his age under that contract, that's a steal. And so I think a team like the Warriors could use him, but I feel like a guy like a Tibbs could use him, a guy that's ready to go right this second. 43% from three, over 50% from the field, a guy that can shoot well off the screens, known to be a dog. I think this guy could fit in very well with this team, and a guy that prides himself on defense.
He's a tremendous help side defender. I wouldn't necessarily say he's like the lockdown defender on ball, but then again, once you get to the league, you learn little nuances of the game and how to play on ball defense. And you know, the Knicks had a very difficult time guarding the high pick and roll this year.
Yeah.
So he's actually a guy that would be very helpful in that regard. Just in one of those, you know, cases where he's able to have he has active hands and he has a good motor. That's something that was very impressive to me to see with him. And yeah, emphasis on the dog part. The kid is a dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about one of those guys who could be the 3-and-D kind of guy for the Knicks, at the two guard, that's one of the dudes that immediately came to mind with him. I mean, he shot 48% in catch and shoot last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good look, man. I mean, the one thing that I do have gripes with is he doesn't use his left hand. And, you know, that comes with player development through and through. But, you know, at 24 and not using your left hand at this point, not that it's a need, but it'd be something that's pretty helpful. And especially at that age, I think that would be something that would have been mastered by now. But as I said, every college program has different player development, you know, beliefs or systems or whatever you want to call it. But the Knicks have done a great job so far with helping players kind of expand their games to begin with. So he's a safe bet in my eyes. I wouldn't be mad if they took him.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad at all, but based on the reports, he's a hot prospect right now in the late lottery to mid first round. So we'll see what happens there. Shout out everybody in the chat. I want to salute Robert Parrish, sends a super chat. He says dealing with Golden State could be a blockbuster involving multiple players or a third team. 14 is our sweet spot. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, based on where the Knicks are sitting at 19 and 21, I think 14 is ideal. So we'll see. You know, Bradley Beal's name is getting tossed around out there. I don't know how true those rumors are, but it's once again going to be interesting. And some more trade rumors going around. We're hearing that the Pelicans and the Grizzlies are talking a potential deal involving the 10th pick and Eric Bledsoe going to Memphis for number 17. So that's another one that you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Knicks investigating, because obviously the Pelicans are motivated to get rid of Bledsoe's contract. He's got 2 years left on his deal. This year is $19 million. Next year is $19 million, but only $3.9 million of that is guaranteed. So, you know, the Knicks get involved there. They're able to move up to 10, grab who they're looking for there. You know, and then you see if you can somehow waive Bledsoe. I'm not sure if the stretch provision is still an option, but somehow you get rid of that $4 million. might not be a bad deal for the Knicks to look into. So that'll be interesting as well.
Yeah, not at all. It'd be pretty good, actually.
Yeah. So let's see there. Also want to shout out my guy, Boston Nick. He was looking forward to this show as well, man. Boston Nick says, shout out once again to our mods, Knicks Fan TV, CP, and you, Mr. Zenon. He has a question on Cooper. We're gonna get to Cooper in a second, and we're going to get to that question right in a second. But Boston Nick, I definitely appreciate the super chat. I was speaking on Duarte. Let's go to Murphy, because he's another one of the hot prospects right now. High on the Knicks radar. Second workout with the Warriors, 3-and-D guy out of Virginia. What's your take on Trey Murphy III?
Big body, man. Big body kid. We're talking about 6'9", 206, but he's got big shoulders. He's going to grow into his body. He's 21 right now, I believe. But he did a great job last year. I believe he shot like 41% on catch and shoot, close to 42%, something like that. But he has bounce. The dude can jump.
Yeah.
He has bounce. He's active, and he plays at Virginia, so you know he's going to play the right way. You know, you got all those guys that have come out of UVA that are consistent pros from the jump. But the thing about him is pick and pop and pick and roll, he has unlimited potential with that. Just because, as I said, he has really good bounce. He's able to take guys off of the dribble. He feels comfortable shooting the ball, especially off of the pick and pop. The mechanics on his jump shot are good. They're not great. You know, it's not like necessarily like it's the most fluid shot, but he has really good mechanics. It's consistent. Let me just say that. It's consistent. So that's something that I like about him. But he could be one of those dudes that's like a corner, you know, corner specialist. Yeah. Not like Novak, like a pure shooter like that, but one of those guys that can run baseline but then set off-ball screens. A lot of stuff with pin down with him could be huge. So I like him. I like him a lot. He's like one of those guys that, if he's there at 21, you take him.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to take him. Or, you know, based off of whoever else they might have their eyes on up until the 19th pick, you take him there too. He just has that type of upside that I like with his abilities. And he's disciplined on the ball, you know, coming from that pack line defense. I know UVA went away a little bit from it, and they did a lot of man-to-man principles this year. Mm-hmm. He did a great job with that too. So 6'9", great wingspan, good catch and shoot, good pick and roll with his athletic ability. And he's still growing into his body. As I said, he's only like 205, 210 pounds, something like that. That could be a really good player down the road.
Yeah, he's slotting in to be like a prototypical 3-and-D player, man. You know, and I like his potential switchability there as well. Obviously, that could help us there. His efficiency from beyond the arc, that would be excellent on this team. You know, again, a guy that you can plug it right in and have him play. But it seems like you see a bit more shot creation upside than others. Is that right? Like, you see a little bit more? Like, if he can put the ball on the floor?
Yeah, I do. I see a little bit more just because when you're in a certain system, and I know if fans have the opportunity and you can look back at my old tweets, Nikhil Alexander Walker out of Virginia Tech, when he played at Virginia Tech, he didn't showcase the ability to put the ball on the floor that much. You know, Buzz Williams had them in a system that, you know, it wasn't necessarily like a lot of ISO stuff. Mm-hmm. But he had certain moves and movements that I was like, oh, he has it. He definitely has it. And then coming into that summer league, he showcased it. And then this past year, he showcased it a little bit more. The same thing is going to happen with this kid. There were certain games that I watched him play that I was like, okay, you have that. There's a lot of change of pace in his game. And he doesn't show it much because, as I said, UVA had a very consistent system and they run everything pretty rigid. There's not a lot of ISO ball with them. So something to keep an eye on. I think, as I said, when he grows into his body and he understands how to utilize his big shoulders, broad shoulders, he could shoot over the top of certain people. You're talking about a dude that you could post up guards with. And because of the fact that he has the ability to guard 1 through 4, he can guard, you know, we're talking guys that he can guard them off the pick, the screen, if they want to go, you know, high, low, and he gets kind of, you know, buried per se with a 4, and they want to dump it down low, he can guard them. And he could do that. But then the same is going to happen on the offensive end when he finally figures out how to use those shoulders. That turnaround jump shot, if he works on that, it could be deadly for him down the road, man.
Yeah, Yeah, you could see why he's highly touted at this stage in the game. Very, very interesting indeed. All right, let's swing to some of the guards now. Now, Boston Knicks' question was on Sharif Cooper, who's another guy who's rumored to be high on the Knicks' list. They're doing a lot of intel on Cooper. His question was, what established player would you compare him to in terms of his passing acumen?
He's a terrific passer. You know, immediately I thought of Trae Young when I saw him play. When I was actually coaching at the Patrick School, we played him. So immediately I wanted to see exactly what the hype was all about with this young man. He's a very gifted passer. You know, he kind of sees the play before it happens. But he makes a lot of those plays off of, you know, from off the dribble. Let's just keep it real. Like, I mean, off the dribble, getting to the perimeter, he's not going to finish amongst the trees and kind of find his big man that way. He's great at pick and roll and throwing the lob and then finding his guys on skip passes and things like that. And trust me, I love his ability to do so. But Trae Young would be the closest that I could think of in terms of a smaller guard that could pass, you know, a depth passer that could kind of see over the top. That's the best comparison I can give you right now.
Now, from a guy who studies a lot of shot mechanics, the shooting is obviously going to be the swing skill for him. What have you seen so far, and what do you think about him doing that at the next level at his size?
Yeah, that's going to be huge for him. I mean, that's the swing, as you said, like, that's going to make or break, I guess, him as a player coming into the league. You could always work on your shot. That's always something that you could change, especially a young player like him. Mm-hmm. But he's going to have to fix those mechanics in which he's going to get his shot off, not just necessarily off of like those counter moves or, you know, step backs or anything. Like, there's nothing wrong with creating space. There's nothing wrong with the way that he plays now and, you know, drawing fouls and things like that. However, when the game does slow down and they're going to be more physical guards that they're going to show to you, that's going to make or break you. And Trae Young was able to do everything he did against the Knicks and Philly just because of the fact that he can shoot it from deep. Is he a knockdown shooter from three? No, not really, but he can do it.
Yeah.
And his mechanics are sound. They're always the same. So you're going to keep defenses more honest. Sharif's thing is there's a lot that goes on with his mechanics. It does change. He's a crafty player, but it's not consistent, in which his scoring ability is going to come with everything from the perimeter. So I want to see that improve. That would be something that would make or break with me in terms of picking him. But he's going to be able to score more based off of the teammates that he has, like the fit. And he would need a guy that's a knockdown shooter next to him. And then also a great pick and roll option from the big. So I don't know necessarily if he would fit with the Knicks. He's going to be a great player. He's going to be a good player.
Right,
but system. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, jumpstart the career here, per se.
And also defensively with that size, you know, in the playoffs, Trae Young, you went through the Knicks, you went through Philly, the Bucks, some, you know, tougher teams in the league, but it didn't seem like any of those teams were really able to expose him and his size out there on the perimeter. You know, a lot of against the Knicks, they parked him on Bullock. Bullock can't put the ball on the floor. Sometimes Trae Young even, you know, shut him down and closed off his airspace. Philly, same way. They didn't really get a chance to really expose him, you know, expose him on the mismatches, on the pick and roll and things of that nature. What do you think about Sharif Cooper in those type of situations?
Yeah, that would be my number one concern.
Yeah.
As I said, like, the shooting and the mechanics, those are all things you could fix. Now, I've heard conflicting reports in regards to his height.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, as I said, when we coached against him, I literally stood next to the kid during warmups, and he wasn't 6'1". But I've heard that he's grown past 6'1". You know, he's like 6'2" now. But still, at the end of the day, these dudes, we're talking like guys like Westbrook and, you know, bigger guards. Those guys can post them up. Like, those guys are going to take advantage of those opportunities. You know, the Knicks and Philly really didn't do that. but by the same token, when Sharif gets to the league, he's going to see a lot of opportunities in which he could take guys off the dribble and he could, you know, get to the rim, but then it's going to come right back to him. And they're going to do so more so in terms of posting him up. So that size is a big concern for me. And if he comes back and he's legit 6'2", then maybe I'll take another look at it. But if he's the same size that I saw him last, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's a tough call for me, man, because I like this kid a bit more. And that's Trey Mann out of Florida. What's your notes on Mann?
I love Trey Mann. So there's one of the three kids that I've looked at and just was like, I fell in love with his game. He's one of those guys. Trey Mann, 6'5", has a 6'5" wingspan, but his handles are sharp. For a guy that's 6'5", he stays very low to the ground. And the thing that impresses me is the fact that his dribbles never go higher than his hip. He keeps everything close to his knees. His crossing counters always change pace. The kid never goes at the same pace down the floor, which makes it easier for him to have those underhand layups and floaters to his game. And Florida, if you saw the way that they played, you know, he was able to show the passing ability. I mean, he's a three-level scorer that could also pass. And his floater game is it might be better than IQ's. So he has a tremendous ability to drive, penetrate the defense, get to the paint. But that floater is deadly, no higher than his hip, which makes it easier also to make those passes, get the shots off. And he's a great pick and roll player. So he's able to play pick and roll both on offense and defense. He's able to read the defense really well. As I said, the Knicks had a difficult time defending that high pick and roll action this year. He does it really well. And so that's one of those kids. I fall in love with him, man. Like that's one of my guys.
I like Mann a lot. Now, some of the criticisms I was reading was his lack of aggression as it pertains to attacking the rim, kind of below the rim play. I don't think he dunked at all this season in Florida. What do you think about that? You know, for a guy at his height with his skill sets, does that concern you in terms of him at the next level?
It does a little bit, but by the same token, there have been other players that aren't tremendous elite athletes, but they could still play really well.
I like the D'Lo comparisons to him. To me, he kind of plays like D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about guys that are crafty, that can get their shot off in the perimeter, but then once they're past you, they're past you. Like once he beats his man off the dribble, good luck. Like that's just the way that he's able to do it, because he's also a tremendous pull-up shooter. So it's not like you're looking for a dude that's like at the rim. It's not like one of those guys that he has to finish at the rim.
Right.
He has a tremendous floater game. When I tell you this guy's floater game is phenomenal, it is phenomenal. And great vision. And as I said, plays the pick and roll just about as well as any other guard that I've seen the last 2 years. Like he's tremendously under the radar and he's a solid playmaker. I mean, I just can't see how they're going to go wrong with him. Now, the problem, however, is if he doesn't utilize the pick and rolls and he does like to pass a lot, you know, he gets in these moments where like it turns into like he passed, like he's too cool for school. He might become a little bit predictable with the passing. So that's something that you work on. Obviously, every day you're going to be against elite competition and practice and whatnot. And having Tibbs and the rest of the coaching staff with their great basketball acumen, they could work on that. But in terms of the raw skill set of just getting a bucket, yeah, man, you can't teach what this kid has right now.
Can't go wrong, man. Cannot go wrong. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP David Zidon here. The last edition of the NBA Draft Q&A. David jumped in here with the notes. We're back at it. Happy to have him on. Make sure you guys are hitting that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. I want to shout out King Matthew, sends a super chat. He says, not going to lie, I see my Knicks keeping two picks. If we draft a shooting guard, Duarte, Trey Murphy, he says, for 19, and Isaiah Jackson, Kai Jones for 21, if Noel leaves. Or if it's a possible, we can take Jared Butler at 21 for sure. So we do have Kai Jones and Jackson on our list. We're going to get to the bigs last on the program, but we do have them on our list. So stay tuned for that. King Matthews, definitely appreciate the super chat. Next guy I want to talk about one of the hotter prospects out of the combine, man, Quentin Grimes. Now, Quentin Grimes originally went to Kansas, jumped into the pre-draft process last year, decided to go back to school. From what the reports say, the Kansas had already gave his scholarship away, so ends up going to Houston and has career highs in points, rebounds, three-point percentage, three-point attempts. Went into the combine scrimmage and started lighting it up, man. What do you think about Quentin Grimes?
6 foot five with a 6'7" wingspan. Another one of the three guys that have caught my eye. I wouldn't say he's one of my favorites yet, but he's a guy that caught my eye pretty consistently. So he's a very good defender, really good defender. He uses his body to stay in front of his guy all the time. Doesn't like to hip check. He just goes body to body, slides his feet really well, anticipates jump shots really, really well. Like, so he gets blocks on the perimeter for a guard at 6'5". You know, the wingspan does help, but his ability to anticipate and contest those jumpers, it's pretty impressive if you were able to watch him on video do that. As I said, he moves well, which means that he also moves well without the ball. Kid moves tremendously well without the ball. He shot over 100 three-point attempts this past season, I believe. Yep. And he was over 41 or 42% from three. I think it's 42. But his release improved from when he last played, obviously, or from the last time that we saw him, judging by from what I was told. But he does have a big dip on it, but his release is so quick on the dip that he's able to get it off really well. So shooters like that, that dip the ball and they're able to get it off really quickly in terms of moving well without it, great baseline shooters, man. And that's a guy that you set a couple good screens for him on the baseline. We're talking like straight baseline cuts, curls, horn action, all that type of stuff. He can do it. Hammer, he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to love if he's able to be on your team and you could run those type of sets for him. He's decent off of screens. Houston ran a lot of Euro action this year. So fans understand like Euro action is a lot of movement. Obviously, they're going to value the off-screener and coming off of the screen. And he did a great job with that. As I said earlier, he's a big body kind of guy. Great rebounder. Really good offensive rebounder as well. And he loves physicality. He welcomes it. So he grabs the boards in traffic and then he pushes the ball. So that was something that caught my eye on synergy. And he follows his shot. It's a lost art. That helps him get his offensive rebounds as well. He follows his shot immediately. Once he holds his follow through and that guy hand comes up, he drops it and he goes straight to the rim. So that was something that I really, really like about him.
One of three players in NCAA to make 100 threes, 40% from three. And I think he shot 8 attempts. So pretty good volume there for Quentin Grimes, man. Stock is certainly on the rise. And as you said, a solid defender, plays physical as well. So he should find a nice home somewhere in the league, man. We'll see.
Yeah, he's not a one-on-one, break him down kind of guy.
Yeah.
But he does enough to get to his spot, to get his shot off, if you need him to break something down. Mm-hmm. He's not going to take no more than 2-3 dribbles and, you know, dance left and right on that. However, he might be able to work on that just because he embraces the physical play.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking about a lot of snatchbacks. You're talking about a lot of, you know, rip throughs, like, you know, pump fakes, get his man up in the air, you know, physical plays that, you know, are just able to get him to the line or just get him a bucket. That's something that I could see him like doing pretty well in the league, considering how they call fouls the way that they do. So, you know, he's not a great passer. But let's be honest, in this day and age, in the system that the Knicks are going to run for him, if he is on the Knicks, you won't have to do much of that. You know, just pass and, you know, get to your spot in the corner or lift anything that they're going to ask him to do, shooting from the slot, that type of stuff, you know, rock out. He's a very good pick, and he's going to be a really good player in the league.
Yeah, as I said, stock certainly on the rise. What do you guys think in the chat? Quentin Grimes out of H-Town, 6'5", 6'8", wingspan. Give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you guys think about Quentin Grimes as a prospect? CP David Zenon here for the NBA Draft Q&A. Another guy out of VCU, another bucket getter. Gets a lot of comparisons to my guy IQ, Emmanuel Quickly, and that's Bones Highland out of VCU. What's your analysis of Bones?
That's my guy. That's one of my guys, man. That's one of the dudes that I've fallen in love with. Gets a lot of comparisons to IQ. Yeah. Yes, the frame, the braids, just the swagger. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to shoot from deep. Mm-hmm. But the thing about him is, which is something I brought up about IQ during the quarter report that we talked. Mm-hmm. How teams are going to start sitting on one hand. How teams are going to start basically timing your shots or looking for you to do those little nuances that you have as a rookie, of course,
right?
For you to, you know, shut them down. Scouting report is going to show X, Y, and Z. With this kid, because of the fact that he's another one that always comes down and it's never the same pace. Always a good change of pace. Like, seriously, will keep the defense on their heels. Is able to push the ball, and when he pushes the ball, he pulls up from 30. So it's a consistent shot with his pull-ups. Like, it's not a heave, it's a legit jump shot. Mm. And he'll pull that thing from, we're talking like 25, 30. And I like the fact that his mechanics are the same from that deep. It's one of those things that if it changes here and there based off of how the teams are playing him, he doesn't get rattled with on-ball defense. So once he creates like a little bit of air, the shot is going up. He did a pretty good job as a spot-up shooter too. So those instances in which, you know, Julius may be double-teamed and he's kind of, you know, stuck and, you know, they run into a situation in late games where the shot clock is running out, he needs to kick out. That's a viable option if he's on the floor. He's a confident shooter, as I said earlier. He is a good passer. So it's one of those type of situations where he's shot up. He's a dark horse. But yeah, man, I love this kid a lot.
Yeah, I like his game, man. I see a little JC. I know people hate comparisons. I don't like comparisons either, but that's the closest thing you can get, you know, before you watch these guys in the league. And I do see the quickly. I mean, from his frame, you see a little JC in him, you know, a little Crawford as well.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
He finishes really well at the rim. Mm. You know, JC was a great, you know, JC could finish and dunk and, yeah. You know, this kid can dunk, obviously. He's a great athlete, but it's like one of those things where, man, he has a high handle, and that could be a detriment for most guards, but for him, because of the fact that, as I said, he doesn't change his pace. His handle's really, really high, so he dances on guys. He's able to boogie and, like, get to those spots. He finishes at the rim, but then his passing ability is able to just – man, I think this kid, he can be a special player, and especially it helps the fact that he's coming into the league as a pretty good shooter. It's a pretty big thing.
Interesting indeed. What do you guys think in the chat? Bones Highland, thumbs up, thumbs down. Leave a comment in the chat. We got 800 people here in the chat. Let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP David Zenon here giving you the scouting report, the intel straight from the notes, ladies and gentlemen. I trust this man's judgment. He was in on the Halliburton stuff, and a lot of you guys try to talk me off the Halliburton ledge. I'm listening to Hey, I mean that was the hit though. That was the hit of last year, right? It was Halliburton, man.
Man, it was. Trust me, it was. My inbox is still. I'm Lord. Well, maybe now people will listen to what I have to say now. Hopefully you guys can see.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Halliburton. He had a good year for sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Cam Thomas out of LSU, bucket getter. 24 points per game, first team all SEC, absolute flamethrower. But he slotted to be in like the 20s or so. What's your take on his game and where's his biggest weaknesses?
I've heard that he fell. He's a great scorer. He's a bucket getter.
Yeah.
Like the argument of, if you're a basketball player, if you're a hooper. So that whole thing that's been coming up this past week, man, this kid's a hooper. He can get buckets, and I'm not going to get into the difference between the two or whatever like that, but he's a good basketball player, three-level scorer, very smart, like basketball acumen is very high in order to get his shot off. As we said, he's 6'5", really strong body, but he's not that athletic in the sense of, really just finishing at the rim and doing a lot of stuff. Like he's very inconsistent sometimes, but when he gets his buckets, he gets his buckets. Like he reminds me a lot of THT, guys that he doesn't look super athletic and he isn't really athletic, but there's certain moments where he'll catch you off guard because of the fact that he's not that athletic. He's like that, but he's a better scorer than THT from jump. Like if there's a guy that like could live off of physical play and, being a very skilled off-ball cutter, he finds guys asleep a lot defensively. And then on the flip side, he gets kind of burned off-ball.
Yeah, I heard the defense is like just, it's just non-existent at this kid.
it's not there, but man, if you want a guy that comes off the bench that's like a spark plug, But I don't know how much that fits with what their defensive principles are now with the Knicks.
Yeah.
That'll be a very hard sell for me. But if you wanted a guy that, let's say he did fall into the second round by chance. I don't know. If he did, you might take a flyer on him just off of his scoring ability and having a guy that he has the tools to be a good defender and a good playmaker. He does. Like, he has the skill set and tangibles, but he doesn't show it. So that's, that's been a detriment to his draft stock. So I like him. I don't love him.
Yeah.
Love his scoring ability. If you told me that he was going to end up being on, like, a team like Memphis or OKC, yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's fit for one of those type of teams. But defensively, if they're going to be as – this defensive stalwart as they want to be, I don't know if the Knicks are going to look at him.
That would be a gamble there. But hey, with Tibbs, if you don't play defense, you're not going to play. So maybe that gets him in tune. Obviously, it got a lot of guys going. Tibbs got a lot of guys going defensively last year that you didn't expect.
That's
so
true.
You never know. He might be able to come in here and fit in. But
yes. I mean, he could kind of, maybe he gets on his good side also because Cam Johnson is a dog. Like he's just one of those rough kind of, you know, we're talking like rough around the edges, welcomes contact. I mean, like one of those, a strong pump fake kind of guy, you know, like he wants to go to the line. He wants to get the other team's bigs or wings in foul trouble because of physicality, not just off of ticky-tack fouls.
Yeah.
So that's just something that could be welcomed by Tibbs and how he sees him being a fit. And as you said, if you don't play defense, you don't play. So, if, you know, one hand washes the other, two washes the face. So we'll see how that goes with that.
Interesting indeed. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We will take calls after this. We just want to get through all of the Twitter requests that everybody had put in. We got a couple more to go. Let's get those likes up. Let's get up to 500 likes. We got 800 people in here. Everybody right now, hit that like button. Hit that thumbs up button. And let's get up to 500. And the call-in number is 657-383-1509. And you can also call in via the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Another guy whose stock is seems to be coming up, depending on who you speak to, is Jason Preston, the point guard out of Ohio, Ohio Bobcats. Kind of looks like the lost ball brother. But, you know, it seems to be a guy that does a little bit of everything. Not the most athletic, but certainly can get the job done. What's your take on him?
He's crafty. Very crafty. Has a pretty good body, actually. You know, one of those guys that grew into his body, late bloomer. Very CJ McCollum type, you know, story with him. You know, grew from like this scrawny little kid and, you know, had no D1 offers and then just blew up last year. Taller than he looks on TV. I actually got to stand next to him a couple weeks ago in New York City. He was just passing through. Really nice kid, really, really articulate, really intelligent. And his skill set, just watching him work out, he's good. The thing that makes me a bit concerned is the fact that he's so crafty and so flashy that where would he fit necessarily with just not having the ball in his hands? Like, he needs the ball in his hands. He's a great playmaker, very, very controlled pace, you know, has an effective floater, has an effective runner, gets to his spots really easily and effectively. The only thing is, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands a lot, and like, let's say, like, you know, Julius is back and RJ's driving to the rim, and you got to find those guys early and often. You know, those are going to be the primary pieces in terms of letting the offense get established. I would want to see how he gets acclimated to that. And defensively, I would have to see, not that he's lazy, but I would like to see like more effort on defense and like active hands and stunting. And like, you know, we all know what Tibbs likes to do with his defensive principles, and like even things as simple as like icing and then being vocal on the opposite end of the floor, like little things like that. So where would he fit with that as well? But don't get me wrong. If they did have a look at him for early in the second, if they had a look at him in the second round and he was available and they took him, I wouldn't be mad. I would like the fact that he controls the pace. I would like the fact that he's a little bit more flashy, but I wouldn't be mad, but I wouldn't love it because we already have one of those guys in Luka Vildoza on the team. Or the Knicks have one of those guys on the team. So, you know, it's just interesting to see where he would fit with that. But very good player. I like him a lot. You know, he's a little bit risky with his passing. He's flashy. And it could like bring excitement, or it could bring like a lot of hair pulling. So
sounds like he'd be a good Knick. We always have one of those.
Yeah. It's interesting. But as I said, there's things that he does like that are really, really well that it would be, the risk is worth, you know, the reward. You know, it's just like great rebounder, great finisher at the rim, controls the tempo. He's not a great athlete by any means, but he's able to understand how to play defense, how to get to his spots, brush off defensive you know, defenders that are going to be physical with him. Like, he's able to do that type of stuff. But I don't know how well he would fit necessarily here, you know?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be mad if he was here.
Interesting. It could be a second-round option. We never know. Could definitely be a second-round option. All right, let's get to the bigs here. And kind of saved it for last because I do think, you know, having a backup or some insurance for Mitch will be key because I don't think they'll bring back Noel. I just don't think they'll allocate assets that way, even though he gave us, you know, a huge lift and was every bit, you know, as much as instrumental to getting us to that four seed as anybody, you know, especially on the defensive end, just being that anchor. But I don't think they'll invest there as in a backup five. You have three interesting guys. You have Isaiah Jackson, who's a Kentucky guy. Obviously, people always want to make the Kentucky connection, but my last guest was very high in terms of the Knicks liking Jackson. Let's start with him, man. What do you think about Isaiah Jackson out of Kentucky?
One of the three guys that I fell in love with. That Isaiah Jackson is, man, Isaiah Jackson is a dark horse. That's not a dark horse. He's like a guy that has so much untapped potential that you're just like, man, he's really good. But then you're like, he could actually be an elite player in this league. So first things first, his size is he's 6'10", legit 6'10". But he has a 7'3" wingspan, big hands, great body, great shoulders, has to fill in a little bit. But I liked what I saw with him. I saw him in person as well, and I saw what I liked with his intangibles. I mean, he does a great job at blocking shots on the perimeter. He's like Mitch. He does a great job at blocking shots on the perimeter. He does a great job at rim running. But he does a really, really good job with chase down blocks and help side blocks, like a rim protector. Really, really good. And because of the fact that he has such great feet, he showcases that on the offensive end as well. Like, he has a really, really dangerous first step. Like, he killed Tennessee this year. Their bigs had no answer for him on the baseline. And because of the fact that he has such a tremendous first step, it utilizes his jab step even more, which then he does his one dribble pull up, you know, towards the paint. He's a decent mid-range shooter, but he's better in terms of, you know, going into that pro hop, land in the paint, you know, create contact, pump fake, you know, kind of get to the line kind of thing. The thing I like about him the most, though, is, as I said, how raw he is. You could tell he didn't have real development, not a shot at his high school coaches or whoever came before Kentucky, but he didn't have real development for the type of skill set he has up until the time he was at Kentucky. Because I saw things that he did from a one-step dunker spot position. I mean, it was one-step dunker from the dunker spot that I was like, he could do it with both hands. I love the fact that he takes hard dribbles towards the rim. Nothing goes anything higher than the letters on his chest. So, I mean, we're talking like contact from the pinch pose down. The guy is going to take one stride and he's at the rim already. I love it. Now we're going to be realistic. The shot is the issue, catch and shoot wise, is the issue that I have with him. Consistency. It's a very, very minute detail, but it's something that I would like to see him fix. As a pro, just in general, not if he's a Knick or whatever, but his right foot does turn inward when he shoots catch and shoots, catch and shoot shooting, which makes it a little bit not predictable, but necessarily like, you know, exactly like he's not going to take you off the dribble. Like, nothing's going to showcase anything the same. He's not going to show the same shot, whether it's a drive or whether it's a catch and shoot. And his foot kind of goes inward. His fingertips change as well. But the shot actually goes in, which is another reason why I'm so intrigued by this kid, because the consistency part hasn't been there, but his ability to be efficient has been. So that's something that I would like to see him do. He gets in trouble with getting charges because of this. So because of the fact that he's so physical and because of the fact that his first step is so good, he doesn't necessarily change that pace because of that foot and that leg kind of turning inward. And that's something that you could fix just off of certain drills that you can do with your players. So that's just a minute detail that I would think that he would fix, whether he's with the Knicks or any team. Defensively, we went about that. Great rim protector, great blocker, great whatever. He does foul a lot because he does turn into a jumping jack. Once he gets a couple blocks, you know, you're feeling yourself, you're looking pretty good. And then every ball that goes up, you want to block it. So since he's good with that, he has to learn when and when not to jump. And the, you know, time of possession, all that type of stuff, like, is really important for him to do it. But, yeah, man, if he gets a scoring two guard next to him or a slasher, he's going to thrive. Because you're talking about guys that are going to open up the lanes for him. And then also Julius being a guy that could stretch the floor and shoot from the perimeter. Not that he's going to be like this high, low, you know, he's going to bury his man under the rim type of thing and just dunk on him all the time, but just being enough of a threat to have anything in, like, you know, close to the block. That's a very, very important thing to have when you're looking to have more spacing on the floor, especially with a big that could shoot in Julius. So, he reminds me of a guy. He could turn into like a Jeremy Grant type of player.
Interesting.
Like, he could be really, really good in this league.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. It's another guy who seems like his stock is going up. They invited him to the green room, so they're expecting lottery. We'll see what happens. You know, some guys don't always get out of there, but they're expecting lottery for him. And as you say, you know, if the shot shot making is something that's left to be desired. It seems like he has a very high floor with his ability to just rim run and shot block, be a good help side defender and things of that nature. It seems like he'll set, you know, go right in and be ready to go.
Yeah, he has good form. The shot necessarily, the fingertips, his hips, his extension, all that stuff is good. I think just from the three ball part, that's where it's inconsistent, which is from generating power and other things that, you know, I can get into detail with that on another basis. But his whole thing is his first year, he could be a really, really good player from a pick and roll standpoint and then be a pick and pop in, like, you know, the pinch post area. Nothing too far from the rim. He's not going to be like this 3-point bomber. But if, man, him alongside RJ, a good slasher, and now that RJ's shown the ability to shoot better from the perimeter, you just never know. And then IQ, having him with the pick and roll again, pick and roll ability, as I said, rolling to the rim and then the floater, whatever. This kid's good, man. I love his intangibles. His upside is, like, really, really through the roof.
Interesting indeed. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Talking to David Zenon, basketball skills trainer, on some of his top prospects and breaking them down, sharing the notes. Definitely appreciate the time, David. So right now we're going, getting into the bigs. We talked about Isaiah Jackson. How about Kai Jones out of Texas? Texas Longhorn, Kai Jones.
Yeah.
Truth.
This kid is, man, fluid jump shot, 6'11", jumps out of the gym, smooth drive. I mean, like, really, really fluid driver. Like, he doesn't look herky-jerky when he gets to the rim. Like, he takes long strides. He has a beautiful gait when he runs. That's one of the first things I look at, how a player runs without the ball. His lateral quickness is great. And that's also because he has phenomenal hips. And that's another part of what, you know, you look for in a player, the way he runs and his strides, all that type of stuff that he does in the open floor is beautiful. He's a really good offensive rebounder. And I think, but that also is, you know, an attribute to the fact that he could jump, you know, and touch the top of the backboard. Wow. But he's a great offensive rebounder. He has a lot of those. You know, he has great hands and he catches a lot of those caroms that's like, you know, they come back really quickly, or if it's like a long rebound and he's able to create enough space and he's able to grab those boards. I love his ability to do so. He's probably like, and I don't use this in a a very loose term, he's probably the most athletic guy in the draft, like from a big standpoint, maybe even just even guards too. You know, like this kid had some dunks at Texas from pick and roll and then even just like off the dribble that he established himself. And that's something that's really important for me. I like to see players that are able to establish plays for themselves, not necessarily play make where they're going to score. I'm talking about like, is he comfortable enough with not just doing a DHO after stopping his dribble? You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, just doing a handoff after stopping his dribble. Like, is he cool with, you know, some contact and then going back to the perimeter, doing a DHO, then getting the ball back? Like little things like that. His attitude is great. I've heard that he's a really good kid. And that he wants to work on his game. I was also told that prior to coming to Texas, he didn't necessarily have like the best turnaround jump shot. And now he's walking out with one of the best turnaround jump shots. So it's like, it's not like the kid doesn't want to work. So you got to take a lot into consideration with this one, man. This one's a beast, man.
Yeah. And shout out Stephen Fox in the chat. And you were mentioning his gait. He said he ran track for Bahamas or in the Bahamas prior to basketball.
That makes sense. I didn't, you know, I didn't know that. But man, for him to run the way he does, his hips and it makes sense because he ran track. It's beautiful, man. He has a beautiful stride.
Interesting. And it's funny that Steven mentioned the track thing. You mentioned the gate. It just completely sort of related. But I was talking to John Starks about that two summers ago. I was talking to John Starks and we were kind of talking about, you know, how he felt about just RJ overall. And he mentioned his footwork and he said and his gait. And he said that, you know, back in the day we used to have track coaches, you know, and to help us with that. And so it was just interesting to see that that connection there with Kai Jones. But, yeah, John Starks definitely mentioned that, how, you know, track coaches can certainly help NBA players with their gait and kind of open things up a little bit. So,
yeah, I think he'll be a very good pick-and-roll option. He has a fluid jump shot from three as well. So he's definitely going to be a pick-and-pop threat.
Yeah.
The thing that – We as skill coaches and then, you know, just trainers as a whole, like you always look at the big picture. Like for a guy his size, a kid his size, he's not going to be a true big. You know, he's just his frame is pretty slender. He's just going to be one of those guys that he's going to be a great rim runner, great pick and pop. His hands are not the best in catching, you know, passes in traffic and just – also, once he gets into the lane, his hands aren't the best there. He has decent footwork, not the best footwork because his post-up game, he doesn't necessarily have, like, a lot of counters. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to dream shake you out there. However, he has good enough post-work to showcase a turnaround jump shot from that short corner. So, I mean, I love the kid. I would take him if he was there. That's one of those guys that he's athletic enough. And I don't mean this by any stretch of the imagination, but he's athletic enough that he can play like the three in the positionless basketball that the NBA plays nowadays. Like that's how much I believe in this kid's lateral quickness and playmaking ability just from either catch and shoot or pick and roll opportunity at 6'11". Yeah. I love it.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. And the last big man on the list, another guy who a lot of people are high on, seems like he's got a lot of room to go, a very high ceiling, and that is out of Spain, Usman Garuba. Now, full disclosure, he's also represented by Leon Rose's son. So, a CAA guy. I don't know if this is CAA conspiracy or that makes people, you know, connected to the Knicks, but I think he's got some skill sets that you gotta like as well, man. Usman Garuba.
Love. Yep. Yeah. He would kind of be like the fourth horseman in my draft analysis. I like this kid a lot, man. He's 19 years old, big body. I mean, like,
yeah,
big body. 6'8", 6'9", 230. But has a six let me get this right. I think it's like 7'1" wingspan, 7'2", something like that. It's longer than 6 inches, like a 6-inch difference then from his height, from his wingspan. But he's legit 225, 230 now. So the funny thing is, the first time I ever saw him play, I immediately was like, oh my God, that's Serge. that's Serge 2.0. Like, mm-hmm. It's not hyperbole or hypothetical. Like, it's literally Serge 2.0. The dude moves like him, runs like him, defends the rim like him. I mean, like, he could be a generational rim protection.
Did Serge work with him in Spain? Do you know if they worked together?
No, they didn't. Okay. No, they didn't. But, you know, I know that a lot of the African players that do go over to Spain are, you know, they're taught a lot of the same fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they both played for ACB, mm-hmm. you know, so like, you know, it's just basically like one of those things where the way that I saw him run and shoot and, you know, little things like his footwork, like little things I saw, I was like, man, this dude is just like Serge. It's a baby Serge. And, you know, so he's high on my list just because of, as I said, I attribute it to him. He's strong in pick and roll, strong with rebounding. He has great defensive awareness, as I said, like great rim protection. I think the thing that is most impressive with him is not just because of his physical attributes, but like he knows when to use them. Like, he's a physical brute kind of player, but he has soft touch around the rim. And that's a necessary thing to have. You can't have guys that are just like a bull in a china shop. He's incredible. He has quick feet with really good hands and great timing. So as I said, like, you're either going to have a guy that's going to be defending the rim all the time or a guy that's going to back you down, quick rebound, keep the ball high, get, you know, be active on the glass. I like him a lot. The thing that he would have to work on, just like what Serge needed to work on coming into league, the catch and shoot consistently with penetrating kick in the corners, things like that. He needs to work on that a lot. The thing that I think is most impressive, though, is he's starting to learn the nuances of catch and shoot. And what I mean by that is like setting your feet, being ready, how you could, you know, show a proper pump fake, things like that. Three pointer. He's not a 3-point specialist whatsoever. So that's definitely something that's going to have to be worked on with his game coming into the league. As I said, he's just like Serge. You know, shot mechanics need to change a little bit of a hitch, high release. But yeah, man, everything else though about this kid, great feet. I have no qualms about him, man. I love this guy a lot.
Defensively, he looks tough though, man. Looks like a guy that could be switchable at the next level, couple positions, multiple positions. You know, got those long arms, get into those passing lanes. He looks pretty tenacious on defense.
He's a very tenacious player on defense. That's a great the word I was going to use, tenacious, because his hands were so active all the time that when he played the passing lane, because of his wingspan, he wasn't necessarily just stealing the ball, but teams were turning the ball over because they were trying to avoid him getting those opportunities to steal the ball. And he did a great job. And I mean, there are a few clips online of him having steals and dunking in transition. The kid is the goods, man. I like him a lot.
Interesting indeed. What do you guys think in the chat? Usman Garuba, Team USA better wake up, man, because they catch Spain. It might be a rough one, man. They caught a nice little lesson by France today. Hey, Spain is going to be another tough out, man. So they better shake up.
Lots of talented bigs on Spain.
Yeah. Bam and Draymond going to be on notice, man. So they better get it together. So that was the list. I thought that was some excellent breakdowns. Brain drain indeed. Welcome back, David Zenon. Everybody in the chat, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Make sure you guys are saluting David, man, because he's coming here and dropping a lot of gems for us a couple days from the draft. So definitely appreciate that. Before we get to the phones, I want to shout out some of the super chats that have come in. Mr. William 1072 says, is Kai Jones Comps, Channing Frye? Is Kai Comps? I seen some comps to Christian Wood. He's saying, is he Channing Frye?
Channing Frye to Kai Jones.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Frye wasn't a defender that like that.
Oh, defender. Oh.
Well, I'm just saying overall. I'm just saying, I think he's just saying overall. Is he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Frye. But Kai Jones is just so much more of an explosive athlete.
Right.
And Channing was a really good athlete. But this kid is, I mean, this kid is different in terms of his athleticism. Like, folks, you got to watch this guy. I mean, I know the clip of the young man, I forget, who had the dunk at Clutch's pro day. That was impressive. But
the one that hit his head on the eye on the rim. I forgot his name.
I forgot his name too. My apologies to that young man. However, Kai did that in games. Like, this is a different type of athlete. And no, I think it's a good comparison. I think he's just one of those guys that he's so raw. The whole Texas program, I guess you could say, with all those type of athletic bigs, they were all pretty raw, which was very, and Greg Brown's another guy that catches my eye too, but I think he's going to fall into the second round.
Okay.
With his athleticism, another Texas dude. But Kai's the most athletic player in this draft. I mean, we're talking about Jalen Green, Kuminga, him. Like, that's rare elite athleticism.
Shout out to Russell Whiskey, sends a super chat. He says, what about Deuce McBride? Miles McBride out of West Virginia. Any intel on him?
I don't have much because I was told by a few other people that he's like, he's a West Virginia guard. Like, he's going to be like one of those gritty kind of players. Like, he's not going to necessarily score that well on this level in the NBA. But so I didn't do a lot of homework on him. I got to be honest with you on that one.
Yeah.
But from what I have seen with him and the system that West Virginia ran, you know, you're talking about a lot of guys that are, you know, hard-nosed defensive kind of guys that are tough. He'd be great with how Tibbs is going to get him acclimated to the league, but I can't necessarily say that I've seen him too much.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Let's go to the phones as we wrap up. So to everybody in the chat, let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let's go to JJ from Brooklyn. JJ, how you doing, man?
Yo, CP, David, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you, man?
Good, man. Good. Doing good, man. Thanks. Yeah, so on this draft, I just have one quick question and I'll hang up and listen. Just seeing how deep this draft is, like, is it even worth it to trade up? Like, is Moody and, say, Bouknight so much better than getting, like, two good players, like a man and a Trey Murphy? Like, why not just let the board fall to us? Just seeing the depth that there is, especially at the spots we need, you know, point guard and wing. Like, I would just let the board fall and just take – someone's going to fall. These guys are going to go – you know, certain guys are going to go higher than expected. I would just let the board fall where it may, and we're going to get two good players. So, I just don't think it's worth it to trade up. You're probably going to have to give up 19, 21, and probably our second rounder just to move up 5-6 spots. So I would just stay put. We're going to get good players if we stay put. So, yeah, that's it. Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good night.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it, JJ. I mean, I think it all depends on who's on the board and who they're after, right? From what I read is that a guy like a Moody could have star potential. You know, and while other guys who are around that 19-21, not to say that Murphy won't be, but other guys fit to be more role players. You know, so I think it all depends on who's on the board. I think teams view McKnight in that aspect as well.
Yeah, and like intel is going to be done up until the day of the draft. Like you're going to find teams, you know, everyone's going to try to have some smoke screens or do whatever, but these guys are going to do their homework, and especially this front office, they're very, very intricate. They're intricate. So they're going to do their homework. And if there's an opportunity for them to trade up and get a pick, I mean, I got to be honest with you, there's like four or five players in this draft that I would trade up for. If you knew that you had to get them at that certain point in time, I would do it. I mean, it is a gamble. It is a risk. Now, if those picks are gone by like the 11th or 12th pick, like I think they might, I hold on to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, based on, again, all the conversations we've been having, 19 seems like they'll get some good rotation players. Maybe they'll get somebody with a bit more upside. Maybe Mann turns into something a bit more if they get in there. Maybe even Murphy, but it doesn't even seem like Murphy's going to be there for him. So I think it all depends on who's on their board. And if they see a trade worthwhile, I trust this front office to go get him. To me, as I've been saying for the last couple of years, I feel like Leon and Wes know these kids as well, if not better, than most teams. You know, just having been on the other side of the table from the agency side and knowing who these kids are from a character standpoint and the programs that they're with and so on and so forth, I feel like they'll do their homework and come out with a good prospect.
Yeah, I think Murphy's one of those kids for me that I would trade up if, you know, if you're sitting at like, you know, the 14th, 13th, 14th pick at that point in time and you're just like, I might have to do something. That's one of those kids that I would do it, you know, just because of the fact that I see certain things that he does. And at that size, and he has a motor, not necessarily just kind of canceling out whatever Kevin Knox does or whatever, but you call a spade and you're going to be honest, like, more playmaking ability from a stronger bodied kid who has a consistent motor. You know, that's something that I think I would look at and I would wholeheartedly consider trading up for.
Value, yeah. And as it seems right now, they might have to, because from what I hear, and he's very high on their radar. And once again, just reporting from what was reported earlier from Shams is that Murphy and Chris Duarte went in for their second workout with Golden State this past week. So clearly Golden State is serious about these guys. I'm just curious to see if Golden State were to trade out of 14, what would they be looking for in return? Are they looking to stack picks or are they looking to take 7 and 14 and make some major moves to you know, give Steph a win now team?
Get a better. I mean, also, do they believe in Wiseman?
Well, right, and you're hearing Wiseman's name in rumors as well.
So that's do they really believe in Wiseman to this point where they're like, has something transpired or have they seen enough to be like, with the development and how everything is breaking down? Because remember, the primary guys under the biggest contracts there, they're not getting any younger, and they're all over 30, I believe.
That's true. Is Clay over 30 yet? I don't know. Well, you got to check. I'm not sure if Clay hit
30. Yeah, I don't know if Draymond's over 30, but they're up there.
Yeah. Certainly. Well, I mean, with Clay with the Achilles and now the ACL, which is unfortunate, man. One of my favorite players. Definitely want to see him back. But you don't even know when he's coming back, you know? There's no telling when Clay comes back. So that's why I see like a Duarte could make sense for them as a guy that could come in right away and play, but Murphy could help him out right away as well. So, interesting to see how that transpires. All right, let's go back to the phones. Angel from Philly. Angel, what's going on?
Yo, what's good, CP? What's good, David? How y'all feeling?
What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm good, bro. Hey, listen, man, hit that thumbs up for y'all boys, man. Hit that subscribe button so I'm going to show the show some love. But, hey, listen, guys, me personally, you know, I just think they're going to stay patient. You know, I'm not going to lie. If I'm, you know, the Knicks, I'm making that call to the Pelicans, and I'm trying to get that 10 pick. And me personally, I would draft Moody, you know. And at 21, how would you feel about drafting Trey Mann? But me personally, I just think the price is going to be too high. I don't think Murphy's going to be at 19, to be honest. And my question to you guys is this, because I know you guys got, you know, some other callers, but would you rather just stay at 19 and 21 and draft Trey Mann and let's say draft that kid from Texas, or would you rather move up to 10 and have 21 and draft Moody and at 21 draft by Trey Mann. And as always, thank you for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate the call. I mean, listen, if they can trade up, if they're going to trade up, clearly they have a guy in their sights that they feel like, you know, has some upside that can really help this team. I'm all for trading up. I've been saying that they need to trade up, you know, from 19 and 21, and the reports are saying so. So if they like a guy at 10, if they can get to 10 and they like a kid up there, go up to 10 and go get him. You know, we need talent on this team, man. We need a talent infusion on this team to help Julius, to help RJ. There's no doubt about it. So if they see what they like, go get them. That's how I see it. Because, and also, I mean, how many young players can you see Tibbs playing in one shot? You got to factor in free agency and them going to get some more 1 to 2 year deals, you know, 1 year deals or 1+1 options going into 2022. You know, Tibbs wants his guys that are ready to go from day one, that know what to do, that can bring this team together. That's why Bullocks and Burks came here. That's why they brought Taj off the street. That's what Tibbs likes. He also likes his vets. So if the rookies are going to come in, they got to be ready to play from day one, or else they're not going to play.
Yeah, that's the truth, because you also don't even know. I mean, D Rose can come back. I've been on Luka's train since day one.
Yeah,
I love this kid. So for me to say, I would hope that the Knicks draft a guard. That guard's got to be comparable in terms of the skill sets that guy brings to the table as well.
Yeah.
And he's going to be and you know, he's a crapshoot as well, because he could end up being one of those guys that's like, you know, lightning in a bottle, mm-hmm. you know, flash in the pan, mm-hmm. whatever term you want to use. I don't think he is. I think he's going to be a solid NBA player for a long time. The only thing is, certain players, like, as I said, like Trey Mann, catch my eye, you know, consistently, you know, Grimes, consistently. Like, I like guys that are going to do something consistently.
Yeah, yeah.
At a high level. So, it'll be interesting. But I would prefer, you know, I would really look at, like, a two-guard for if they're going to stay put. Mm-hmm. I would really, really look at like a two guard situation if they have, or guy, excuse me, that could be a combo guard. Mm-hmm. And I would really, really look at that first and foremost, and then kind of, you know, let everything fall into place, because who knows, you could also trade, you could also be trading players that are already on the roster.
Right.
Down the road, as much as I don't want to see that. I would not like to see that. It's not my call. So they you don't know. This front office is very smart. They're astute. They know what they're doing. But it's not make or break if they can't trade up. This is a very deep draft.
Yeah. You never know, man. Never know. Appreciate the call, Angel. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right, last call of the night. We're going to go to my guy, King Deej. We're going to the Discord. Make sure you guys, Knicks Fan TV Discord is a great place to hang out. It's a 24/7 chat. We got multiple channels on different topics, not just basketball. Got over, you know, thousands of people in there. So definitely shout out TM and all the mods who helped put this whole thing together, man. So we're over on the Discord 24/7, but you can also call in. Especially for my international fans, if you guys are looking for a free way to connect with us, the Knicks Fan TV Discord is your way. So just putting that promo out there. And we'll go to King Deej to close the show. King Deej, what's going on, bro? King Deej. It's a little delay in the Discord, so he'll be here shortly. King Deej going once. Oh, you're closing the show and you're not even showing up. Deej, what happened, man? Wow. Everybody in the chat, boo King Deej, man. I'm bugging. No, that was my fault. I wasn't in the chat.
Oh, I was about to say, I'm like, yo, I was tripping for a minute. But shout out, first off, run it up.
Yeah,
I know
we
got a good night. CP, you doing your thing. Shout out to David Z, good trainer, good
Appreciate
skills trainer
you,
here. CP, the chat got me hot, man. Because we making something out of nothing, man.
What's going on?
We just had Knox. Just had Knox with all that athleticism and bounce and all his projections. And well, in 3 years, he could be one of the best wings in this draft. And he ain't turned out to be nothing. Now, this ain't a slight or attack on Knox, but I don't understand why people are in the chat and they don't want Trey Murphy, who's basically your you guys are upset that we passed on Mikal Bridges, Miles Bridges, and you upset about Porter. But you don't want a 6'9", 3 and D wing that's still growing and still could shoot. He could play off ball, great cutter. Like, I don't understand this. Like, I don't understand the why we do this. And then on top of that, man, Cooper, like, we talking about shoes and no shoes in the chat. Like, can the kid hoop, man? Like, can the kid make his own shot, create his own shot, play off a pick and roll, play isolation? Can he do that for us? And that's why I'm not going with Cooper, because Cooper is 6 feet, great passer. But what you going to do when defenses aren't letting you get to the basket, bro? What are you going to do when there's 7-footers? We just seen Hunter and Capella, and it's like, y'all don't understand that you could get your version of Hunter right now. You could get your version of Hunter right now in Trey Murphy. I'm going to stay by my guns, CP. Trey Mann and Trey Murphy. And if you can't get – now all of a sudden the Warriors is going crazy with Durante and Murphy. Mm-hmm. But they're not the only people that got 3 picks. OKC not going to get 3 young guys. They might want to do business, see what they can get for a future pick. So I would call them at 16 if Duarte or Trey Murphy still, you know, make it down. I just don't understand why we're making this so difficult, man. The positions of need is point guard and wing. So get the best available talent at point guard and wing. I'm not drafting a big to dunk and rebound. Like, what's that doing for me in a playoff setting, bro? I need guard play. I need wing play. And I just feel like Murphy and Mann, that's where we're at. You're not reaching for the stars. Get the best available talent. That's it. Like, I don't get why it's so difficult, but I'm gonna hang up. David, I don't know how you feel. I'm mad, David. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're on the wrong night.
Was Murphy's motor ever in question, like Knox? Because it doesn't seem like that to me. It seemed like Knox was still more of a project, but Knox's motor was always in question as a prospect coming out of Kentucky.
CP, I'll put it like this, bro. When Knox got drafted, in his jacket, he had Fortnite. You know what Trey Murphy's talking about at the combine? He's talking about guarding Paul George, guarding Luka Doncic, picking parts of their game and trying to defend their game. Like, it's night and day, bro. Coming from Virginia, you're forced to play defense. Even if you can't, you're forced to. Yeah. Like, I don't get why this is so. This is really it's blowing mind, CP. I gotta be honest. It's a family show. I'm not cursing. It's blowing mind, bro. It's really blowing mind. Trey Murphy, get the job done. And if you want to go 3, then I'll pick Quentin Grimes. Just so we couldn't get Chris Duarte, I'll go Quentin Grimes at 32. But yeah. I'm not moving. We're not like this whole traded to a top 10. It's not happening, bro. All those teams in the top 10 need those picks.
I don't think so.
The best pick you're going to get, if not at 14, is at 16 with OKC. You got to do business with one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Golden State wants, because we really don't have anything to get them over the top. It's a championship mode. So I'd rather do business with OKC at 16 if Duarte or Trey Murphy are still on the board at that, because then you're not giving up much.
Yeah.
It's simple, CP. I'm out. I'm mad.
Appreciate
David,
you.
You're doing a
Appreciate
good job.
You,
I'm out.
I mean, Murphy to
Appreciate
me.
You,
Murphy to me. Just off his skill sets, junior coming out of Virginia, as you said, kind of having that Virginia mold. I'm looking at Hunter, same way, but it just felt more like a safer pick to me. But a lot of the scouts, from what I'm hearing him rising up the charts and from what I'm hearing from you, Dave, is that there's some room there. There's some upside there. Knox, to me, when he came out after freshman year, it looked like he needed some more time. Like, he just didn't seem very mature when he came out. So, you know, I don't really see that with Murphy.
There's a lot of room for growth with Murphy. And the caller called it said it how it is, man. It's Virginia has a pedigree.
Right.
Like, if you draft a kid from Virginia, you draft a kid from Villanova.
Safe.
You know that they're going to do something good fundamentally. Like, fundamentally sound. They're going to last in the league. And not just, like, last. Like, they're going to thrive at one thing that's, like, really good, but then also on the defensive end be sound enough to play it at a good – at a high level. So – And as I said, like, this kid Murphy's the kid that I'm looking at. Like, I saw him you know, do some moves. And just, as I said, from my perspective as a dude who trains these guys, if you see a certain movement or if you see a certain change of speed that it's like natural, like it's not, you know, it's not something that like he's forcing, that caught my eye. Like, that's always going to catch my eye. And I saw him do it in a game. I've never worked him out. Let me clarify that. But I'm just saying, like, the stuff that I've seen, it was enough for me to be like, okay, I see how this is going to, you know, I see how this might pan out. This mm-hmm. kid is actually has a really high ceiling for what he can do in the league. But yeah, man, call it on the head, man.
King D's just going with Murphy, and man, Dana Mack in the chat said, Knox ain't been the same since Zion ripped the ball from him in the league. Oof. Man, that was tough, man. Shout out Kev, man. That's my guy still, man. I want well for all my guys. Had a chance to meet Kev. He's
Knox is a good kid, man.
He's a good kid. He's a good kid, man. But yeah, that moment in Summer League, man, it was like, oof. I hated to watch that, man. It was tough, man. It was a packed building. LeBron was there. AD was there. Floyd was there. And it was like one of the first plays of the game, man. You could feel like the anticipation for that game in the building, man. And when Zion just ripped the ball out of Kev's hands, it was like,
yeah, I know. I was there.
Oh man, you could hear the whole arena was like, oh. it was like that bully fight. You know what I mean? That after school you go to the bully fight, and he's just destroying the kid. That's what happened with Kev, man.
Oh, I was so nervous walking into that arena. Yeah. I was like hoping that Z was going to play well. And I'm like, man, like.
Oh, man.
And then after he did that, I was like, yeah, he's going to be all right.
Oh, man. It was crazy. That was a crazy day, bro. Crazy day, man. I'm going to be back at Summer League on the 8th. Are you going out there this year or no?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Summer League. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we'll definitely link. We'll do the next show. We'll do the next show.
We should do the next show. Yeah. In Vegas.
Yeah, next show is going to be in Vegas after we make the picks, after we get a summer league under the belt. We'll link up and we'll get your thoughts on how things are going.
Yeah, call the Bellagio. You know, you got it like that.
definitely, man. But listen, bro, I thought this show was great. I definitely appreciate you, sharing the notes and the intel. Much needed for the fans. You know, the fans were definitely looking forward to this one. And I definitely appreciate you coming on and sharing with us. Always appreciate your insights, man. So, great job. Absolutely great job, David. Let me hit my outro music here.
Thanks for having me, man. For real.
Absolutely,
appreciate
bro.
It.
Absolutely. Let me just get my outro music here. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right. So, once again, we are 4 days away from the NBA draft. What are you thinking? We're at 19, 21, 32, 58. Who are some of your favorite prospects? Who are some of your favorite picks? Throw it in the draft. Let us know what you guys are thinking. We'll probably do a mock draft maybe Tuesday. I'm still trying to coordinate with all the guests right now, so be on the lookout for that. Also on Tuesday, I'm doing a special Knicks Fan TV Live. Live from Clyde's Wine and Dine, the great Dick Barnett and the Dick Barnett Foundation. They're doing a luncheon and a fundraiser from Clyde's. A lot of the OGs are going to be there. You're going to have Dick Barnett. You're going to have Clyde. Bill Bradley's going to be there. Starks. Allen Houston's going to be there. So check it out. I'll be there with Jake Brown from Big Apple Buckets Podcast. And we will be streaming live from Clyde's Wine and Dine. So make sure you guys are checking that out. It's going to be start about 12 p.m. Eastern time on Knicks Fan TV. So make sure you guys are locked in on that. And David, go ahead and sign out, man. Let the people know where they can find you, bro.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Dave Zenon. Pretty simple. And on Instagram, my full name, David Mark Zenon. Just hit the follow, DM. Ask some questions. I'll be sure to respond when I can.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that as well. And so to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. One more time for David Zenon. Make sure you guys follow him, man. He's sharp. I trust his judgment. Make sure you guys follow him, man. He's one of the best in the game. Trust me on that. And as we said, tune in, man. The next show with David Zenon is going to be live from Las Vegas in Summer League. And yeah, we'll give you some of our thoughts on some of the newest additions to the Knicks. So make sure you guys are tuning in for that. We've got a whole lineup for Summer League going on, so looking forward to that as well. Remember, this show's brought to you by Manscaped, presented by Manscaped, as always, fellas. Go to manscaped.com, enter promo code Knicks for 20% off plus free shipping, and that's on the new and improved Lawnmower 4.0 and a ton of other products for today's man. So make sure you take care of the family jewels, man. Make sure you turn the AC on down there and take care of business. You know what I'm saying? Also, this show is available in audio podcast format. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, all the major podcast platforms on the Knicks Fan TV. So if you miss it on video, you can always catch it on audio. It'll be up in a couple of hours, so tune in on that. And yeah, man, shout out to all the mods once again for helping out. Always appreciate it. Knicks Fan TV, Dave, TM, always appreciate you. The Shells, Ari's in here. Appreciate that. Let me make sure I didn't miss any super chats. Tiny Tim, appreciate you. Jack City says, great show. Tiny Tim, great show. King D's, always appreciate it. Let me make sure I didn't miss any super chats. Mr. William Russell Whiskey, King Matthews, Robert Parris, Boston Nick. And yeah, I think
shout out Boston Nick.
Shout out Boston Nick, man. Yeah, he's active. He's active on Nick's Twitter, man. Definitely active. So yeah, tune in. Once again, Tuesday. Next show will be Tuesday afternoon, live from Clyde's Wine and Dine, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you guys are checking it out. And stay tuned for I'll send an announcement on the mock draft and everything like that. So and then Thursday will be our NBA draft show. So tune in, man. I got a whole huge panel of guests. Full coverage from beginning to end. And we'll find out, man. 4 days away.